From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Hawkeye tailgaters will face new rules at this weekend's home opener in Iowa City, including a limit on how long parties can last after the game. This hour, we'll talk with University of Iowa officials about why the new rules are needed and how they'll be enforced. We'll also hear about efforts by other Big Ten schools to curb drinking at football games. And we'll find out how stepped-up enforcement might affect those who depend on tailgating business. Do you think the new tailgating rules will make a difference? Also, at the end of the hour, we'll hear about an attempt in Coralville to break a world hokey pokey record.
Right foot in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around.
That's what it's all about right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're going to focus on the knuckleheads. Those are the words of University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta, commenting on the new rules Hawkeye tailgaters will face at this weekend's home opener in Iowa City. The shift in tailgating policy is part of the UI's Think Before You Drink campaign. UI officials say the campaign isn't an attack on safe, responsible tailgating, but is an attempt to shift the culture of tailgating outside. The rules include a limit on how long parties can last after the game. So this hour, we want to have you tell us about your tailgating experiences. Have you ever experienced any problems with the tailgating scene? Tell us about it. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, we're also on Twitter, at IPR Talk. Joining us now to discuss the new rules, Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director, and David Vizen, University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety in the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. Good afternoon to you, Paula and David.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon.
Paula, let me start with you. Give us the crux of the new rules. What are we facing that's different from last year's football season?
Well, I think our main focus, as you indicated in the opening, was to make sure that all of our fans have an opportunity to have a great time in Iowa City and at Kinnick Stadium. And we really are looking at the folks that have, the minority of fans that have in the past consumed alcohol irresponsibly. Those are the ones that we really are focusing on because it is important for everyone to have that great environment, that game day environment. So we are looking at consumption of alcohol with underage individuals. That's going to be a focus. We'll also be looking at the open container policy and rule in Iowa City, so that'll be another focus for us. Open bars, unsafe alcohol consumption is really what we're going to be dealing with and focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Can you be more specific about the behaviors that are alcohol related that you've seen in the past that you hope will not, that these rules will get rid of?
Well, public intoxication, I think, in parking lots and also in Kinnick Stadium can be an issue because we have folks who at that point are not as respectful as they should be, because that's really, the majority of our fans have a great time. They're very respectful of each other, their neighbors in the stands, their neighbors in the parking lots. In some cases, that's not the situation. And again, it is a very, very small minority. But we really do feel like it's important to change that culture and to make sure that folks understand that, tailgating at the University of Iowa is terrific. Tailgating does not mean the inappropriate and abusive use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. We've had this sort of drinking-related behavior, this drinking culture at the University of Iowa for a long time at tailgating. So why now the crackdown?
Again, I think we have we're in a position where this is a partnership not only with the university but also with the city of Iowa City, so it's a great time for us to bring everything together, to work together as a community, and to make sure again that we do provide a safe environment. We want our fans to enjoy the time in Iowa City, to mm-hmm. have a great opportunity to cheer on the Hawkeyes, to go home safe, mm-hmm. and to come back.
I guess what I'm asking is, is this alcohol-related behavior been on the increase in recent years? Is that what's prompting this new policy?
I don't think it's necessarily been on the increase. I think, again, it's an opportunity for us to really focus on what we think is great about Iowa football, and that's all of our fans getting together, supporting the Hawkeyes, but again, doing it in a very safe and a very responsible manner.
Mm-hmm. It comes at a time when we have also in the background the 21 ordinance in Iowa City, a relation shipped to that. Right now, 21, you have to be 21 and older to get into a bar after 10 p.m. It matches up with that as a stricter way of looking at underage drinking, controlling that, right?
It does to a certain degree, but again, we have not really looked at the 21 only rule. As part of this, this is something that have thought about for the last couple of years. It just so happened that this summer we had an opportunity with the university and with the city to look at it a little more closely. So again, this is something that we see really as a positive for the Iowa Hawkeye fans.
David Vizen, University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. How much manpower will be on hand, extra manpower, at Saturday's game to ensure you can actually enforce these new rules?
Well, actually, we haven't hired more officers. We have a contingent of officers that we've hired for several years now. We're just shifting their focus to address these behaviors, to enforce these existing laws that have always existed.
Give me an idea of how many extra officers are on duty on football Saturdays in Iowa City.
It depends on the game. It ranges probably about 100 to 150
extra
per game that are in just to deal with game day operations.
Around Kinnick Stadium mostly.
Yes, around Kinnick Stadium mm-hmm. and the parking lots.
And you're saying that to enforce these new rules, there is no addition to what has been in previous years?
Not personnel-wise. We're changing their focus to writing citations instead of just telling people to go away or to stop the behavior. Mm-hmm. We're going to send teams out of officers trying to look for cases where we're seeing irresponsible, unsafe drinking behaviors and address those.
So give me an example. You're seeing someone, give me an example of what you might be seeing and how an officer would react to that now under the new policy that would be different.
Well, the laws, public urination, we've had problems with, especially with, neighbors in the neighborhoods. If you could imagine if it was your house sitting there, you'd probably be pretty upset too, mm-hmm. Especially if you have children, in your backyard and this type going on, plus, vomiting and, some other probably very disruptive behaviors. We always have always been ticketing underage drinking. We see that as a focus for our officers. Probably some unsafe, responsible drinking practices. So, like you've seen on like YouTube, beer bongs, drinking games that encourage all this binge drinking. We're going to try to discourage those kind of activities on our campus.
Okay, you see a violation. You've listed several examples of what might be taking place. How will the officers then be approaching these people? What will be the treatment?
Well, obviously, it depends on the violation. Most of these violations are what we call cite and release. So they get a ticket, like a traffic ticket, and they're sent on their way.
It will cost them something.
Yes, it will cost them something.
So there are no warnings in this case?
No, we've been warning people for several years. We feel that we've taken now a new step, put this new initiative, and we feel that if we don't enforce it, then people really don't really abide by the rules. So this year we're going to start enforcing it, and we want to make sure that everybody knows these rules.
What will it cost? Public urination, what will it cost you?
Typically, those are a $100 fine or $145 fine. It all depends on the violation, plus you're adding court costs in there. So you're probably thinking about a couple hundred dollars for a citation.
Will that put you in jail?
Typically, no. Those won't put you in jail. Usually, public intox is a more serious charge where actually you're probably a safety hazard to the community at large or to other people. Our goal is to usually we used to previous years is if you got arrested for public intox, you'd be taken down to the county jail. We're trying to do a sign and release procedure where if you had someone sober that could take care of you, we'd release you to that person and you'd appear later in court. Just like a traffic ticket.
Do you anticipate that the number of how many arrests are typical of a Hawkeye football game Saturday?
Well, it depends. For some games, we might have as little as 8. So the worst game we had was Ohio State night game, and we had 57 in custody arrests.
Okay. Do you anticipate the number of arrests, violators, tickets being given initially as a result of these new rules, this enforcement, to go up? Are you reckoning with that?
Well, we expect tickets to go up. We don't expect in custody arrests going to the county jail to go up necessarily. We're going to do all the efforts we can to, again, we just want to get the people who are not abiding by the rules to get them off campus and away from Kinnick Stadium. So the hopefully the number of people we're taking to jail might even be less or the same as we always have.
Mm-hmm. Paula Jantz, how do you what type of reaction has the university received to the new policies before they've gone into action here?
You know, I think that many of our fans see this as positive because, you know, again, we're talking about a very few individuals that can actually, though, create a situation that is not enjoyable. I mean, when you're in Kinnick Stadium and someone is intoxicated, someone is being disrespectful, it has an impact on it could have an impact on 20, 30, 40 people. So for us, that has always been a focus. We want to make sure that we provide environments and we provide an opportunity for people to have a great time. I think that there are some individuals who are concerned particularly about the post-game tailgating, the limits that we're putting on. We are talking to our fans about that. We're explaining. We're saying, you know, this is an opportunity for us, again, to remind fans that, you know, we're not prohibiting alcohol consumption. That's not our focus. This is, you know, our focus is just to make sure that everybody is safe and that we are doing so in a respectful, appropriate manner.
But is the rule the tailgating around Kinnick Stadium must end an hour after the game ends? Is that it?
I'll let Dave answer this one.
Right. Actually, the drinking must end after the stadium is substantially empty after the game for 1 hour. They have 2 hours for tailgating, and then at 2 hours, again, we wish that they would, again, go ahead and head home at that time.
Mm-hmm. This is a university property. Why drink on university property when it's prohibited other times, other places on the property?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think we're trying to take just the first steps now, not saying there'd be any additional steps in that direction, but I think what we're trying to do is, you know, still keep the Hawkeye spirit, still keep the fans there. You know, we enjoy our team. Even the police there do enjoy the team, and we enjoy their success. And we just, again, we're trying to address the 1% or 2% of the people that are the problem people, the knuckleheads, as, you know, Athletic Director Barta has said. And we think we can do that and be very successful at it.
Okay, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about the new tailgating rules to be enforced tomorrow at the University of Iowa's opening game. David Bissom with us, University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director. We want to know what you think. Do you welcome these new rules? Do you think, oh, well, it is about time, or do you think it will spoil the fun? We want to hear about your tailgating experiences. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in 60 seconds with David Crum of the University of Minnesota to talk about what they're doing. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News over the noon hour. Ben Kiefer, glad you're with us, talking today about tailgating behavior and misbehavior. New rules Hawkeye tailgaters will face at this weekend's home opener in Iowa City. The shift in tailgating policy, part of the UI's Think Before You Drink campaign. University of Iowa officials say the campaign isn't an attack on safe, responsible tailgating, but it's an attempt to shift the culture of tailgating outside. The rules include a limit on how long parties can last after the game. Paula Jantz with us, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director. David Bissom, the University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. We want to have you chime in with your opinion about these new rules. Do you welcome them? Have you ever experienced any problems on the tailgating scene? 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. And on Twitter at IPR Talk. Joining us now, University of Minnesota Associate Athletic Director David Crum by phone. Good afternoon to you, David.
Good afternoon, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us on this program in this particular discussion. The University of Minnesota, I understand, did open a stadium last season, and you have some new measures. What measures did the University of Minnesota take to keep Gopher tailgating under control?
You know, we came back to campus. We were in the Metrodome for about close to 30 years and came back to campus last year. And the nice thing, we kind of had a clean slate as we looked at tailgating rules and alcohol consumption in and out of the stadium, and basically put together a number of prohibited items, items that they could tailgate with, and similar to the University of Iowa, we have hours in which people can tailgate. There's limits before and afterwards, and there's limits on what you can tailgate with, and there's also limits on where you can tailgate, be a surface lot or in the parking ramps, so to speak, and we do not allow, because of code, tailgating to occur in ramps.
Mm-hmm. How would you say, and I think you probably compared them, the University of Minnesota's new rules with the University of Iowa's? More strict?
You know, I don't know the exact details of the University of Iowa, to be completely honest with you. I don't think, from just listening the last 5-10 minutes, that they sound to be very similar.
Mm-hmm. You do have some cases, students can be breath tested going into the stadium. Under what circumstances?
Well, we have a check back system, basically, it's called, and it's to check the blood alcohol contents. And basically, during the game, if there's any observation from the public conduct folks or the police officers, if someone is cited for drinking and they're tested, basically if they see a student that's acting in an inappropriate way or they could tell that it's intoxicated, they'll bring them in down to our holding center, test them, and then if they test positive for any alcohol and under the age of 21, they'll be reported to the Office of Student Conduct. Mm-hmm. And if they're over 21 and they're actually legally intoxicated, they'll also be reported to the student conduct office, and then they'll actually have to go to the student conduct office the next week and check in and have a meeting with them for them to be allowed back into another game.
Can you give us any numbers in the first season with these measures? How many students were unruly enough to have a breath test?
You know, on an average, we had about 14 incidents in the stadium, alcohol-related, on a game-to-game basis, and only about half of those were student-related, so there was about 7 a game. So mm-hmm. We had under 50 for the entire season.
And so they come back the next game. Does that follow them? Do the people know when they're entering the stadium that they have this prior violation?
What happens is they have to check back in after they have the meeting with the student of office conduct. They have to come in, check back in with the holding center, and be breathalyzed or before they are allowed to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of on an honor system that they have to come back in and check in with the holding center. And if they blow or their blood alcohol content is an acceptable level, or they're allowed back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
If they enter the game without checking in, they run reports after the game, and then they run a list of those folks that were required to check in. And if they didn't check in, they get called back into the student count, and then their penalties are even more harsh. And I think there was only maybe one of the 50 incidents where we found someone that went to a game without checking in.
Okay, let's get Mike from Cedar Rapids in on our conversation. Mike, you've been listening. What's on your mind?
Well, I received notice from the university and listed some of the rules. I don't drink at the games. I enjoy the games much better when I'm sober. But one of the things listed was safety stops by law enforcement. For the majority of us, why should we be subject to those safety stops?
Okay, Mike, good question. We're running a little...
That's way over the top.
Let's get a reaction to that. Mike in Cedar Rapids, let's put that to David Vism of the University of Iowa, Associate Director of Public Safety. People stopped without any reason, just random checks? Is that what's going to be happening at the University of Iowa?
Well, for some games. We're doing a kind of a two-tiered approach. We are going to, for some games, have officers around the traffic lanes looking for violations and pulling cars over illegally. So if you have a seatbelt off, you don't have a registration, you have an open container, driving an open container in your car, which are all law violations, if the officer sees it, they're going to pull the car over, and it'll be just like anything else going on for a regular day.
Mm-hmm.
For a traffic stop. The safety checkpoints, they are a chance for us to, we're going to try to make them as quick and as painless as possible to traffic, but They are a legal method that law enforcement uses to ensure safety, and we're going to try to make them, again, as least as intrusive as possible. But we feel, you know, we have to do it. We have to encourage people to drink responsibly, to drive responsibly, and plan for their exit from the Kinnick Stadium area. Mm-hmm. For the person who's not or hasn't been drinking and who's a designated driver, it's going to be very simple, and you know they have nothing to worry about.
Okay, Mike from Cedar Rapids, thank you for that question. And we have with us for a few more minutes David Crum of the University of Minnesota, Associate Athletic Director. Would you call what you've done in your first year a success, or were there any missteps in this policy that need correction?
No, I think it was a very much a success. I don't think it's with the number of incidents we had, I think our folks acted very responsibly. I think it was a success.
I guess I'm looking for anything because the University of Iowa officials are tightening up, and we have the first experience ahead of the University of Iowa tomorrow. If there's anything you might pass on that the University of Iowa may learn from.
No, I think it's just educating and communicating, and it sounds like they've done a wonderful job. I think that's the key, and then it's education. Change is never easy, and they're well aware of that, and it's just getting through that process. And we found that, you know, we had another alcohol happening where the state legislature changed the law on us in our premium seating area, so we're a completely dry stadium as well. So in our premium seating, in our suites, and our club seats, we don't have alcohol either. And that was quite a change for us in that we were completely dry inside the stadium, but you could drink in the tailgating lots. And we thought that that would be a problem. And in the end, everybody was very responsible.
I understand you used to work at the Iowa State University.
Yes, I did. Worked there for 10 and a half years.
How is the tailgating culture at Iowa State different from the University of Iowa?
Well, I think they're probably somewhat similar. You just have different structures and different, Jack Trice Stadium compared to the Kinnick Stadium is a different setting, and the tailgating is probably a lot more of it, closer within the which you can see at Jack Trice. They've got a great tailgating atmosphere there. They've got a tent presence up and down between Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium, and you know they do a great job there, and people, you know, they drink responsibly. You're going to have, like I said earlier, some knuckleheads that okay. You just kind of have to work through and educate and know that there's going to be a few folks in that you're going to have to deal with. And
David Crum, we have to go. Thank you very much for joining us, University of Iowa, Minnesota, as Associate Athletic Director David Crum. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this email before we go into our break from Lydia in Iowa City. I think the new rules are a positive, particularly from the standpoint of women's safety. Not only do women who overindulge in public put themselves in great danger, some young men become even less respectful and even aggressive when they drink. I used to live near Kinnick, and I hated to walk outside when fans were leaving the stadium because drunk male students would whistle, make inappropriate comments from cars. Obviously, they were not a real physical threat, but they were disrespectful and made me uncomfortable. Definitely not a positive image of an Iowa student for anyone visiting our town. That email from Lydia. When we come back, we'll talk about the Magic Bus. That's a landmark at the tailgating at the University of Iowa. We'll find out about that when we come, and we want your opinion about these new tailgating rules. 1-866-780-9100. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Takes me to you.
Back with the Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer over the noon hour. Glad to have you with us talking about behavior and misbehavior at tailgating events. New rules. Hawkeye tailgaters will face at this weekend's home opener in Iowa City. The shift in tailgating policy is part of the University of Iowa's Think Before You Drink campaign. UI officials say the campaign isn't an attack on safe, responsible tailgating. It is an attempt to shift the culture of tailgating outside and to change the behavior of the knuckleheads or get them off the premises. The rules include a limit on how long parties can last after the game. Knuckleheads, a word used by University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta. Joining us, Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director, David Vism, the University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. We'd like to have you join in our conversation. Do you welcome these new rules? Do you have an experience, a tailgating experience you'd like to share? 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. Before we do go back to our callers, the so-called Magic Bus has been a tailgating landmark at Hawkeye football games for many years. It now seems the Magic Bus has run into a roadblock. Joining us, Jeremy Freerks, a board member for the Magic Bus tailgate. Jeremy, welcome to our program.
Thanks.
And for the sake of those who have never experienced it, describe the Magic Bus and what goes in and around it during tailgating.
The Magic Bus itself kind of started with a guy by the name of Brian DeCoster, who ran it a lot different than the rugby team, who took over in 1996. Me and three other guys actually ended up doing it and donated our shares to the rugby team as a way to kind of promote rugby in a way and keep the Magic Bus going. We were big live music fans, and so we thought as a way to keep the tailgater going, not having a lot of money ourselves. Like Brian had pretty much the burden of paying for his parties all by himself. Came up with this idea, have bands play on top of the bus and charge a cover charge to come in and see those guys and then provide beer to those people who wanted to indulge on that. And since then, in the beginning, it was, we were really winging it. Not having good equipment, having a tough time getting bands to show up or even play. And as it got more popular, we were able to improve on things and get better bands. And then eventually we started to be able to clear a profit. And then with that profit, we just said, let's donate this money to charities. And as it's gotten bigger throughout the years, some years we've been able to donate, upwards of $30,000, $40,000. And some years as little as $8,000 or $9,000.
That's over the six games in the six
right.
home games.
Yeah.
Not one game, $30,000 or $40,000.
No.
That would be a lot of beer.
Right.
So it's parked on university property?
817 Melrose, right across the street from Kinnick Stadium.
Is it on university or private property?
No, it's private property.
It is private property. So does the Magic Bus have a spot for tomorrow's opener?
It does not.
Why?
Well, 817 was sold last year, as I think a lot of people know, to a group headed by Tracy Barkalow and the Clark brothers of AUR, Clark family name. And after raising the rent last year, it kind of looked like things weren't going to work out. And it looked like their plan the whole time was eventually this year to route the Magic Bus out and establish a for-profit tailgating thing, doing the same thing we did with bands, but they were going to sell beer instead of giving beer or whatever they were to give away at or sell at their tailgater.
What do you think of the new rules that will go into effect tomorrow?
I guess 1 hour, 2 hours afterwards seems a little harsh. I don't know. Are the officials going to really push people out 2 hours after that out of their parking lot? And if it's a big win, are people going to be opposed to it?
Okay, David Vism, right here, Associate Director of Public Safety at the University of Iowa. So 1-2 hours go by. What will be the measures taken to clear the area around Kinnick Stadium of partiers?
Well, the 2 hour decision was really made because most lots are clear anyway after 2 hours. Our game day operations has always ended 2 hours post-game. That has never changed. And at that time, most people are gone anyway. If we came to a problem where people were refusing to stop drinking, the officers would address those issues. If the traffic's backed up and they can't get out, obviously there's not much more we can do at that point. But again, our goal is to return the campus to normalcy after 2 hours.
Okay, let's go to Tom in Clear Lake. He's been listening to our conversation. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I think you kind of addressed it a second ago. We have, in the past, we have friends that have motorhomes right outside the rec center. And quite often in the past, the late games start, you know, 2:30 or 3 or whatever. And we'll sit back out and watch the games on their TVs and just sit in our bag chairs and barbecue. And I know a lot of the motorhomes stay overnight. We've never had any issue in the past, and I'm just curious with that one-hour deadline for the alcohol and 2 hours, obviously it's going to be awful hard to clear the motorhomes out of those lots at that time. How are they going to address those issues?
Let's see. David, Paula, who wants to tackle that? Will Tom have anything to worry about here?
Actually, with the RVs, we are letting them stay. We, again, will not allow alcohol consumption, you know, 1 hour once the steam is essentially empty. But the RVs, we realize that that's an issue. You know, they take a while to set up, they take a while to bring them down, and we are letting them stay even overnight.
Okay, now can they sit back in their chairs and watch the game? And if we have a drinking a beer in the parking lot after that two-hour timeline, and that's when we're going to be ticketed if we're still sitting there at that time. Is that correct?
Well, what we're going to do is we're not going to immediately, you know, pounce on people that say, oh, it's over an hour, we're going to write you a ticket. You know, we're going to say, hey, you know, we need a we're stopping drinking at this point. And, you know, what you do inside your RV, you know, is fine. We'll actually just probably ask you to go inside and you know, if you want to drink a beer or whatever, what do you want to do, go inside, and that's fine with us.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much for your call from Clear Lake. Mm-hmm. Have fun at the game tomorrow. How do you think this will these new rules will affect, you've had to discuss this, affect the buying of season tickets? How will the response there? What have you had in terms of negative response to this? Any, Paula?
Well, I think, again, the concerns that our fans have had is, again, the post-game limitations that have been established. But as Dave indicated, you know, majority of the fans are leaving the parking lots 2 hours after. You know, I'm one of the last people that actually leave Kinnick Stadium, and generally most of the parking lots are pretty clear by that time. Again, we don't want to put people in the middle of traffic. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep an eye on that. But again, our focus is to make sure that when our folks and our fans do leave, that it's a safe environment, that they come, you know, get home safely, and that they come back to the game and that they have an opportunity to continue to cheer on the Hawkeyes.
Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director, along with David Vizen, the University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. And if you'd like to join our conversation, we'd welcome your opinion here. Do you welcome these new rules? Do you think, well, it's about time? Or do you think it will somehow spoil the fun? Let's go to an email from Joyce. Joyce emailed us at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Our telephone number during the rest of the hour, 1-866-780-9100. Joyce writes, I am 60 years old and a U of I graduate. I haven't been to a game in years. However, last year I happened to be in town on a game day and had business downtown. I was flabbergasted at the number of students roaming the sidewalks in large groups. Some were obviously intoxicated. Some were actually drinking. I have to say I will never again plan to be downtown on a game day. I cannot understand why this kind of behavior is allowed to happen. I was totally disgusted, and I'm no Pollyanna, writes Joyce. So these are the people you're looking out after with these new rules, Paula.
That's exactly right. I mean, we want to make sure, again, that the game day experience is one that all of our fans can enjoy. So we will be focusing on inappropriate alcohol consumption and inappropriate behaviors.
Okay. Jeremy Fricks, member of the Magic Bus tailgate. You don't have a spot tomorrow, but can you understand, you on the same page, that the University of Iowa had a drinking culture problem when it came to tailgating?
I think when
has it been?
Obviously, you know, the university has been rated top party schools a few years in a row, and I don't know how the information is actually gathered, or whether it's exaggerated when the students, you know, I mean, I think that seems like that's something that people like to brag about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right.
Well, what did you with the Magic Bus? I mean, obviously, with that kind of setup you had, things might have gotten out of control, did get out of control. What did you do to control people around the Magic Bus?
In the early days, you know, it was tough because people didn't understand it wasn't the culture we wanted there. And it's a reason why away fans come to the Magic Bus, because they're welcome there. And we have 20 to 25 security guys, which are mostly rugby players. And we have never tolerated any type of behavior where it was interfering. If you're a away fan, you've spent all this money to come support your team. Across the street, I hope we kick the hell out of you. I mean, that's what we hope of your team. But, you know, come tailgate with us. And we've always adhered to, like, there's been a two-hour policy, I guess, that everybody's always kind of followed. Like, 2 hours, wrap it up. We've always gone by like that. I think it's kind of like the Burlington Street Bridge. You hit that, that means no more open containers. And those people that are walking down the street and with open containers past that point, they are the knuckleheads that you're looking at. And you know, it's a shame if you're doing that and you're not really following by these rules that were, you know, unwritten, unspoken before. But we've always had that culture of 2 hours, it's time to wrap things up. Now, as far as, you know, the parking lot across the street and the RVs, I'm against, you know, forcing these people inside their RVs. What if it's a nice night out? Then they're going inside and turn on their ACs and then you're running gas and things like that. And that's really just not the culture, I think, that we need to be putting on Hawkeye fans, especially you're going to spend that kind of money to park across the street there.
Exchange listeners, do you welcome these new rules? Do you think these new rules will change the behavior of what University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barter calls the knuckleheads? 1-866-780-9100 or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Also on Twitter at IPR Talk. And let's go to Mary, who is calling us from Iowa City. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon. What I want to know is if it's my understanding from what I've read in the paper that the university policy is that on all university parking lots that you can drink beer and wine before and after and up to an hour after the game, but that there's no hard liquor. Is that right? And if it is right, which of course takes away the Bloody Mary, that are those same rules in effect for those that have the suites in Kinnick Stadium?
Okay, Mary asking about the Bloody Mary. David Vizen, does it depend on what type of alcohol you would have?
Well, according to state law, you're not allowed to have hard liquor in public areas. So we're just following the state law. As far as the suite holders, they're not allowed to have hard liquor in their suites as well. They're limited to the beer and wine. That type of I won't say liquor, but alcoholic beverage.
You're actually not allowed, according to university policy, to have alcohol on campus. And Kinnick Stadium is campus, so is there an exemption in the policy or in the written policy?
Well, I mean, that's not quite true. You know, the university does have a liquor license. They do have restaurants on campus that do serve alcohol, and that same liquor license applies to the press box of the stadium.
Okay. Mary, thank you very much for that call. And we're talking about the new rules that are governing the Hawkeye tailgating as of tomorrow. Our guests, Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director, David Vizen, the University of Iowa Associate Director of Public Safety. And if you'd like to join our conversation in the next few minutes, 1-866-780-9100, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Let's look to the future and ask Paula and David what you envision as a success here. Picture for us a different sort of tailgating, perhaps in place this season or in succeeding seasons. What will be different, Paula?
Well, I think, again, tailgating at the University of Iowa is a longstanding tradition, but that doesn't – tailgating and inappropriate alcohol consumption is not – shouldn't go hand in hand. You know, we want our fans to enjoy spending the afternoon or the evening with us at the University of Iowa cheering on the Hawkeyes. So for us, again, as Athletic Director Bart has indicated, we really are going after the knuckleheads. We want to make sure that those individuals who are – abusing alcohol, inappropriate behaviors. Those are the folks that we are really going to focus on. And for us, you know, we think that's a very positive because it's going to change the culture and change the environment for everybody that spends the afternoon with us.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Frerichs of the Magic Bus. What will you be doing tomorrow without a spot for the Magic Bus?
We're actually going to – I'm going to try to start the bus here after I do this interview because it's been wintering since last year.
How big is the bus?
It's a school bus.
A full-size bus.
Yeah, we have that one. I actually have the original one that's parked out on a farm. And then we got a mini shuttle bus too. that we use for team trips and shuttle people from one of our sponsor bars to allow them to ride that and come up the Magic Bus prior to this year. But we're going to fire it up, and we got a couple parking spots that got reserved for us, and the team is actually going to take the day off and enjoy tailgating instead of having to volunteer their time for the charities and stuff.
Okay, so the rugby team will miss the money that's been
It's not – we're not going to miss the money. It's one of those things I've always said, like when a band and ask me for an extra $100 or whatever, you're not asking me for $100 and taking it out of my pocket. You're taking it out of the charities that we cut checks to.
Okay, let's go to Karen in Davenport quickly. We have just a few seconds left. Karen, your view on this?
Yes. I just wanted to say that I was a proud graduate of the University of Iowa, and my parents started taking me to games when I was a little girl back in the 1960s. And I just wanted to support the university with their new policy. I think it's wonderful. And I also think maybe they should not allow drinking in the boxes. I think that's kind of disrespectful. If you can afford a box with the money, then you can afford to drink.
You see that as a two-tiered unfair system. Okay, Karen, we'll have to leave yours as the last words. Karen from Davenport, thank you for joining our conversation, also joining us for the hour. Paula Jantz, University of Iowa Associate Athletic Director. David Vizen, thank you very much, the Director of Public Safety at the University of Iowa. Jeremy Frerichs, thank you very much. And we'll be back in just a second. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. In just a few hours at 6 p.m. tonight in Coralville, organizers of Fry Fest will attempt to break the Guinness World Record for the largest organized Hokey Pokey dance. The Hokey Pokey became a tradition for Hawkeye football teams under celebrated Iowa coach Hayden Fry in the 90s after big wins. The tradition has since faded, but tonight Fry will try to lead more than 4,431 people in the Hokey Pokey. That number would beat a record set in Toronto in 2003. Joining us now, Lori Hammond, the Vice President of the Iowa City Coralville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Good afternoon to you, Lori.
Good afternoon.
What inspired this attempt?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, first of all, this is an event that takes place at Fry Fest, and Fry Fest is in honor of Coach Hayden Fry, and of course, we all know he's legendary here, and he has ties to this Hokey Pokey dance. And there was a member of our committees, we have lots of people involved with this planning, that suggested that we should try to beat the world record for the Hokey Pokey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was one of those little things that was thrown out there, and we ran with it, and here we are. It's pretty exciting. We know we can do it. It's just a matter of it's part of all the rules and everything that takes place. There's a lot more to it than what people realize. But
tell us about this. So this will be, where will these 4,500 people be? And we have to mention, anyone can come and be potentially part of this world record.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. If you can move your arm and shake it all about, you definitely need to come on down. Yeah, it's going to take place at the Iowa River Landing in Coralville, which is right next to the Coralville Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. And there's an open lot there. We have one main stage that it will take place around. We'll have people that will do the wristbanding and things that we need to do according to Guinness to track our numbers and everything. We actually have a judicator here from Guinness that will be on site to watch everything happen. And we will know probably, you know, later on whether we won or not. It shouldn't take too long.
So if you wanted to do Hokey Pokey, what time should you try to arrive at the spot you mentioned?
We ask that people get here about 5:30, 5:45 at the latest.
Okay. And Hayden Fry will be there. He's flying in from Nevada, I understand.
He's here right now, yes.
He's here, and mm-hmm. He'll be directing this. So how... in what sense will he be directing 4,500 people?
Right. Yeah, Coach Fry is going to speak to the crowd. And, of course, you know, he has fun stories about this Hokey Pokey, and he'll let them know what it meant to him. And this Hokey Pokey tradition only happened after big wins in the locker room. You didn't do it against a game that was kind of an expected win. These were against the games that were big wins. And mm-hmm. and he's going to give his little pep talk and then start us all out in the Hokey Pokey.
How long do these
4,500 people approximately have to be doing the hokey-pokey simultaneously to make a record?
That's a good question. You actually have to do it for 5 minutes. Ooh. And the Hokey Pokey song is only 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So we actually have it looped. We kind of edited it a little bit so we can just roll right back into it. And that'll be part of the practice session that we'll do first, mm-hmm. so that folks realize you can't stop dancing because there's actually stewards in the crowds that will dock. They'll tally each person that stops dancing, and that gets deducted from our total.
Any paramedics on hand in case of yeah. over-exuberant hokey-pokeyers?
Exactly. Oh, we've got that covered.
You do have that covered. So.
We do.
Right. So that repetitive, there's a repetitive injury possibility there. I know.
Yeah.
I'm just joking here.
Yeah.
How will the event be documented?
We have, like I said, we'll have Guinness here. And so
will it be filmed?
We're going to have – we have film crews, we have TV crews here, we've got photographers, and it's going to be very well documented.
Okay, Lori Hammond, thank you very much of the Iowa City Coralville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Good luck with this world record.
Yes,
in the
you.
Hokey Pokey.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye now. The
All
Exchange
right.
is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Podcasting, on-demand audio, available by going to iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
You put your right elbow in, you put your right elbow out. Your right elbow in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
You put your left elbow in, your left elbow out. Your left elbow in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
You put your right side in, your right side out. Your right side in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey.